Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Trust you guys have been having a great time. Okay, I just want to wrap up something that I spoke about the last time, which was last week, to tidy it up properly and shed a little more light. I've had a few of your conversations, and I also think that it will help. There are all kinds of voices that speak to us. Never seek voices. Never, ever seek voices. If you seek voices, you want God to speak to you in an audible voice, Satan will accommodate you. He's an opportunist and is always looking for an opportunity to destroy God's children. We don't have a provision in the Bible where God expressly said, I'm going to speak to you, or you should ask me to speak to you in an audible voice. We have enough leading from the Word. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance or signification. There are many kinds of voices in the world. I have interacted with some Christians, and some of you have also. If you take note, people who claim to hear voices, who always claim to say, something said to me, you know, and they appear hyper-spiritual. Look at their lives. More often than not, they've gone off the tangent. Some of them have already developed a mental problem because of voices. It is not that God doesn't have a voice, and it is not that God doesn't speak. I've told you, the three ways that God leads us in the New Testament, number one, which is the primary way. So more often than not, over 90% of the time, this is the way the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, leads the New Testament church. That is through the inward witness. It is not a voice, it's a witness. In Yoruba language, Eri, when something bears witness with your spirit, you just know that this is the right thing to do. Now, however God is leading you, whether through the inward witness or through the inward voice, which is also called the still small voice, or the voice of your spirit, which is your conscience, it must be in agreement with the written word. Number three way, through the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is more authoritative than the voice of your own human spirit. Even if it is that one, it must be in agreement with the written word. Is that clear? So, the more time you invest in the written word, the Bible, the better for you, the safer for you. So that in case you hear a voice at any time, you can judge it by the word. You might not be sure the voice you've heard, whether it is the Holy Spirit or it is your mind or it is the devil or whatever. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. We have that in the same, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:14. If it's not first, then it's second. 11:14, let's check it out quickly. 14, let's now check. 14:11 is about numbers, actually. 14:11, no. So it's going to be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Yep. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, when he speaks to you, do you think he will speak as an angel of darkness? Come and talk to me, church. The devil will quote scriptures to you. So be careful. The fact that you heard a scripture, you heard it from the realm of the spirit, does it mean it was God? Now, this is what the devil does. He will not quote it accurately. He will remove something. That's why you need to know the word. When you know the original, when the counterfeit comes, you can tell, no, that's not complete. Something is missing right there. Or quoting it in such a way that it will wind up intimidating you, putting fear in you. The Holy Spirit does not intimidate. I heard the devil say to me before, today you're going to die. I had a very terrible pain in my stomach. It started from church that Sunday. I thought maybe because I had not eaten. So I went to my office. My office was at the back then. I asked for my food, and someone went to my wife to get my food. And so I ate the food. After eating, the pain continued. In fact, it grew worse. So I tried to lie down on the couch in my office. Maybe I will feel better. I felt worse. So I said to my family, let's go home. We went home. I tried, okay, let me go to my bed. My bed is my comfortable place. Let me just chill there. At least I'll be fine. It was worse. The pain kept increasing. So I tried to sit on the floor. Maybe I will feel better. It was worse. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. At that point, I knew there was trouble, real trouble that I had never had before in my life. So I walked down. Everybody left me. They knew I was in pain, so everybody just left me. I was alone in the flat. I tried to walk down the stairs. I was taking baby steps down the stairs. And I said, okay, let me just exercise my faith. I'd quoted scriptures, by stripes I'm healed, the pain was still there, in spite of all the scriptures I'd quoted. As I moved towards the end of the building, the end of the house, the voice said to me, today you're going to die. At that point, I knew this was not the Holy Spirit. I said, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk like that. When Jesus was leaving, he didn't say, I would send you another tormentor, because he himself was not a tormentor. He said, I will send you another comforter. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to comfort. I can be in pain, but the Holy Spirit will comfort me in my pain and will let me know that I'm going to get better. And he will give me a word to hold on to get me out of my situation. He will not give me a word that would make me feel worse in my situation. You remember during this series, I once asked you, does the Holy Spirit condemn? And we had a consensus in this house that he does not condemn. Are you getting what I'm saying? So does the Holy Spirit intimidate? Does he harass? How do you know you're in the wrong church? You have been harassed every time. You have been intimidated every time. No. When you come to the presence of God, how do you know you're in the wrong place, a wrong setting? You have been intimidated. You have been harassed. The Holy Spirit does not harass anybody. And he does not intimidate. I give you an example. So that day, anyway, I got my healing because I had to exercise my faith. I had to get back to the word of God. I had to go back to my knowledge of God's word. And I was now having a conversation with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit took me to Isaiah 40. I walked out of the house, taking baby steps. My security man was wondering, what's wrong with Oga today? I mean, I was walking like I was learning how to walk. But I didn't talk to anybody. I just walked out of the house and decided to take a walk on the estate. I got to a point, a junction, where I had the option of walking on a plane or climbing a hill. Now, when you're in pain, you don't want to climb a hill. But I said, look, that's what I'm going to do. And the devil said to me, you will die. You just die on the road. And you know you don't have any ID card in your pocket. And you are new on the estate. Nobody will know you. Before your family discovers, you'll be smelling. I just laughed and said, Mr. Devil, you have lost. Because I know the source of that voice. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't have the final say over my life. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of Isaiah 40. One of the verses there says, all the world, the entire world, the whole world, is like a drop in a bucket before God. If the whole world, all the continents of the world are like a drop in an ocean or a drop in a bucket before God, the whole world, then can you try to locate Nigeria from that little drop? It must be very tiny. Do you agree with me? Now try to locate Oyo State in that little tiny thing. Very tiny, right? Now locate Ibadan. I hope you know that Ibadan is not the whole of Oyo State. I hope you know that there are places in Oyo State it will take you about 4 or 5 hours to get to before you get there. Have you heard of Kishi? Igbeti? You'll be asking yourself, am I still in the same state? I mean, 5 hours. That's like you going to Abuja. Abuja from here is about 7 hours. And I'm telling you that somebody is still traveling within Oyo State in 5 hours. So Ibadan must be very tiny in the whole of Oyo State. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now imagine, try to locate me inside Ibadan. Only me. Look at my body now. I'm not even occupying this whole room. I'm not as large as this room. So I'm giving you how to think through the word. And it was just me and God. So I said to God, my body must be very tiny for you to locate in that drop. Now, in my whole body, pain in the tummy. That pain must be minuscule, almost infinitesimal. I said, so Lord, if you made the whole world with just your word and everything completed in 6 days, the whole world, how about my body? How much more my body? Very small body. And then the pain, very small. Where is it even coming from, self? I'm telling you, at that instant, I lifted my hands and I was just praising God. And I looked at the sky, the wide expanse of the sky. I was just looking, how marvelous are your works. The sky is the same from here to Australia, several hours. And everything is a drop in a bucket before you. As I was worshiping the Lord, that pain left me. I walked back home free from that day till today. You must, however, be anchored in the word. Before that pain came, I had known Isaiah 40. So, the Holy Spirit will not help you to read the scriptures. You need to have the discipline to open the Bible yourself and read and meditate. See, when you are doing that, you are storing up something in your spirit. You are storing up treasures in your spirit. A day will come that you would need to make a withdrawal from your store. It's like putting money in your account. A day will come, you will have to be hungry sometime, somewhere, and you need to buy food, and you can pull out your ATM card and pull out some money or use it to make a payment on a POS machine and eat some good food, take care of yourself for that evening. And you're not going to die because you have saved up money. Imagine if you saved up nothing. What are you going to spend? Come and talk to me, church. What are you going to spend now? Nothing. If there is no deposit, there can be no withdrawal. Remember, the devil will always twist the scriptures. He will misinterpret it. He can quote the right scripture, but give it a wrong interpretation. He quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Jump down from the hill, if you know, from the mountaintop, if you know you are the Son of God. After all, it's written concerning you that he shall give his angels charge over you. Is that the proper context? So because he said he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, it's all your ways of obedience as he leads you and you obey, you are kept. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't say you should go and be tempting the Lord your God and be jumping from a mountain. Or say, I'm a child of God, I'm full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. If I touch a live wire, I will not, nothing will happen to me. If I drink any deadly thing, after all, the Bible says, it will not harm me. Now, not that you intentionally go and drink poison, because the Bible says, if I drink anything deadly, it shall not harm me. That's going to kill you, man. Let's be careful. First, know the word. Be rooted in the word of God. It's sad, though, that many, many Christians are not reading their Bible, including some people listening to me tonight. A day will come, the devil will try to mislead you. And if you are not grounded in the written word, you will be misled. People interpret the scriptures anyhow, any way they feel like. Let me wrap it up with the experience of Dad Hagen. and then I'll show you some scriptures tonight. The day he got his healing. Now, before his healing, let me talk about another experience. He was praying about this church where he wanted to go and pastor. He didn't know whether to go there or not, whether it was the will of God for him to pastor the place or not. Don't worry, it's still a quarter to seven. I'll stop at seven. I'll try. Now, after he had prayed and prayed and prayed in the Holy Ghost, and he heard nothing, one day, he said he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, authoritative. Listen to what he heard. You are going to be the next pastor of that church, and that will be the last church you will pastor. I like your countenance, Christiana. Her eyes grew big, like, really? Very good. When you hear such a voice, you can allow the devil misinterpret it to you by telling you that, yeah, you're going to die because that's the last church you will pastor. You will never have the opportunity to pastor another church. That was not what the Holy Spirit meant. The Holy Spirit meant that, yes, he was going to be the pastor, the next pastor of that church, and then his ministry would move from pastoral to the prophetic. It would move into the office of the prophet. You know, in the fivefold ministry, you can actually start out in a calling, and God grooms you. There's a place you are going to. Maybe you start out as an evangelist. You are just passionate. You're winning the lost everywhere. Meanwhile, at the end of your calling, you might wind up in the prophetic, in the office of a prophet, or as an apostle. Now, that is not to say that apostle is higher than evangelist or anything. But I said that to say, sometimes people don't exactly function in their office at the beginning. Our lead pastor was an usher. And then he was a drama guy. And then he said they used to give him bad boy roles to play. Imagine lead pastor Alex Adebwe. When he was in drama, who would have ever thought there was a whole church in the spirit of that man? There was inside that church called the Stone Church would be born another church called the Potter's Planet, and would be born another church called the Expression House in one man. Who was an usher giving envelopes to people? Welcome to church. God bless you. Welcome. An usher. And then he was a drama person. How did he get into ministry? They formed the Full Gospel. Full Gospel started from America, and then they came to Nigeria. And then what they used to do was to finance it. Some of them, young professionals, you know, they'll bring money together, rent a hall, and then provide food. People will come and then eat. Businessmen who don't like to come to church, but they will come to that kind of setting, maybe a hotel. They will sit down and have lunch, you know, some toast meal, and somebody will stand up, share his testimony, salvation experience. And then the MC or someone appointed will now preach a message around that, salvation message, and they were getting souls saved. So one day, they just sat down at a meeting, and they said, oh, we'll take Bible study now. We want to start Bible study. We want to be having, you know, let's not just come and eat and drink, and then people just share testimony, and then we make an altar call and they go away. Let's, like, okay, now we're having souls. We need to disciple people, feed them with the word of God. They all sat down, the executives. And one of them just said, Alex, brother Alex, teach Bible study next Monday. At that point, he could have said, no. Ah, Bible study, no. Stone Church would not have been born. See, people always talk about, how do I discover God's purpose in my life? How do I find out God's calling? How do I know there's a million-dollar question? You will discover your purpose in your place of obedience. It gives you an assignment. It might be your HOM that will give you an assignment. Go and clean the church. In obeying, you will stumble into God's destiny for your life. David never planned to kill a giant. God had prepared him in the wilderness. He had killed a lion. He had killed a bear. His father sent him food. Go and give food to your brothers who are in the war front. And then he stumbled into destiny. He didn't know about any Goliath. As he was talking to them, asking about their welfare, one guy showed up, big guy, and everybody ran away. And he thought, why are you all running? They said, that guy's been terrorizing us. So he waited and listened. And the guy ranted and ranted, So he asked, who is this uncircumcised? He didn't even know his name. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what shall be done for the man that takes away this reproach from the armies of Israel? And he said, the king will do so, so, and so, and so. Say it again. He didn't plan it. He didn't go with war, weapons, arrows and whatever. No. Shepherd's bag. His little boy shepherd's bag. But that was how he stumbled into destiny. Joseph was busy interpreting dreams. They threw him in the prison. He kept interpreting dreams. They knew. Everybody knew he could interpret dreams. The chief baker and the chief butler of Pharaoh came to him. They had a problem. He looked at them. Oh, why are you? You're not looking good today. Oh, how now? Oh, it was just being himself. By being yourself and obeying instructions from the Lord, you will fulfill your purpose. Brother Alex was not a pastor. He was not an ordained minister in his church. He was an architect practicing architecture who just loved Jesus. He was born again. He loved to win souls. And he was in full gospel executive meeting. And somebody pointed, Brother Alex, next Monday, take Bible study. He said, okay, I accept. And he went back home, prayed and prepared. And then he would fast and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray. He had been doing that as a lifestyle, fasting and praying. And then he got into God's word. From the first Bible study he took, he's still taking Bible study. Can I have an amen to that? Now, no longer in full gospel now. But that was where God now began to use him so mightily. Said he was in a meeting at Premier Hotel. Premier Hotel used to be packed. In the days when he started taking the Bible study now became popular. People were coming from all over the place. It would be so packed, the hall would be packed, the foyer would be packed. There was a hall. There's still that hall. Everything has been revamped now. There was a hall downstairs, the banquet hall. It would be packed at the foyer. It will be packed. And then some people will be at the parking lot who brought their wives. Men who didn't want to come to Bible study. They will sit in the car. And then when they discover that there were quite a number of them, they put a speaker there. They will also be hearing the word of God. Oh yeah, go home now. They won't be able to go home. The word of God will arrest them. The following week or 2 weeks after, the man will come with the wife. And then come out to give his life to Christ. It became a phenomenon. What started from an ordinary meeting. Gideon was just about his business, threshing wheat. Ooh, ooh, ooh. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him mighty man of valor, he said, what do you mean? I am the least in my father's house. My father's house is the least of the tribes of Israel. So I am the least of the least. You are calling me a mighty man of valor. How? Where? They say, take a special number. He said, I'm too much for that. On a Thursday Bible study, they didn't even bring me to Sunday service or Ablaze to come and sing. He said, Bible study. How many people normally come to Bible study? When you are not faithful in little, you are not faithful in much. Come and play the instrument. It's Bible study. How can I play the instrument? Bible study. There's a doctor in our church. He's a lecturer in Fourier. I didn't know. I just met him last Saturday. Because I had to anchor a segment for the young men Real Men's Fellowship during the men's convention on Saturday. And he anchored the event so well, he was quoting scriptures. I just anchored a segment for them, a panel discussion. After, he came to sit beside me and was familiarizing with me. So I told him I was really fascinated by the way he was speaking and the scriptures he was using and all that, that I was really blessed. He laughed. He said, Pastor Fred, it's just that you don't know me. I said, my brother, well, I know you from afar. He said, I lecture in so-and-so place. I said, that's right. Then he mentioned my brother-in-law's name, who is in Canada. I said, oh, great. He said they were friends from their former church. They used to attend the same church. I said, oh, wow. He said, but Pastor Fred, I've been coming to drink from you right from when I was doing my master's in UI, when you were the one taking Bible study at the UI Fellowship. And he mentioned the actual place. I said, wow. See, the impact that your life will make, only eternity can record it. And if you choose to be disobedient and to be useless in the house of God, a nation can be on the inside of you, but will never see the light of day. May your own nation see the light of day. A whole ministry like this was locked up in the spirit of Brother Alex Adegbue, now our global lead pastor. In 10 years from today, you'll never know what realm this ministry would have entered. And it shall be a more glorious one than what we have right now. Because even our only two expression house, we have fruit to the glory of God. Ministers have been made here to the glory of his name. Now, be grounded in the word. Don't let Satan cheat you out of your miracle. Don't let him misinterpret the scriptures. That Hagin, when he got his healing, the first audible voice he heard was not the voice of God. After he got his healing, he was healed. That voice said to him, can you put James 4:14 on the screen for me? That voice quoted James 4:14. Media, please, can you do a quick one? Quick one, please. James 4:14. Whereas you know, are you sure that is it? Okay, yes, that's it. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. A man that just got healed. Now, he said he used to pray to God that anytime I'm going to die, let me know so I can say bye-bye to my family. He was not born again at the time. He was just a little guy trying to know God. And then when he got healed, the voice said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Today, you are surely going to die. You are appointed to die. He believed that voice. That voice quoted Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27, please. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, he accepted his fate. After all, his time had come to die. See, the devil, till tonight, is still misinterpreting this scripture to many, many born-again Christians. Have you heard people say, everybody has an appointed time to die? Have you heard that statement before? Like, there's a time to be born, really. And there is a time to die. Yes, that is true. There's a time to die. But nobody, no believer has an appointed time to die. I'm sure you haven't heard that before. But I'm going to prove it to you scripturally, and then we'll go home. So that you don't let the devil kill you while you are still young. This scripture says it is appointed unto men. Are you a man? Yes, appointed to die. And that appointment is once. That's what it says. He didn't say there is a particular day that you can't escape that day. The moment that day comes, you go. You know, Muslims say, I grew up with some of them. They say death is like a bus stop. Once you get to your own, you come down. That's it. That is it. Like somebody said, that is it. The moment you get to your own bus stop. So the question is, when will I get to my own bus stop? That is not scriptural. Having lost people that are very dear and precious to me in my life, I have asked the Holy Spirit many questions. Many, many questions. Some, he has answered. Some, no answer. But he has shown me scriptures. No believer has an appointed day of death. If you study the scriptures well enough with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will see, especially in the book of Proverbs, that when you do certain things, they will help to shorten your life. But there are other things also, certain other things, that when you do them, they will add length of days to your life. Have you read such scriptures before? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. And then I will come to the New Testament and we'll wrap it up tonight. And I will tell you what the Holy Spirit showed me. And this also helped that again. Proverbs 3. In fact, if you read the whole of 3, 4, 5, he kept talking about wisdom up till 7. Read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. It will bless your life. Now, if you go to verse 16, in fact, go to verse 15. Verse 15. It says, she is more precious than rubies, talking about wisdom, And all the things that you can desire are not to be compared to her. Nothing compares to wisdom. It's telling you the importance of wisdom. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Did you see length of days there? Longevity, that's what it means. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her parts are peace. You want peace? Go for wisdom. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. You don't let wisdom go. You retain the wisdom of God and say, happy are you going to be. He said, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So there shall be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Come on. Let's do the word. Let's do the word. Let's do the word. Let's do the word. Let's get into the word, study the word, meditate, and then do. And then do. If you eat recklessly, you eat things that can kill you, you're going to die young. Papa Kenneth Copeland was taking coffee. He was so addicted to coffee. One time, he didn't know. He just was having pains in all his joints. I said, Lord, you and I spoke about 120 years. That's one man believing God to live for 120, preaching the gospel. He said, but how come all this pain? The doctors checked and checked. They said they couldn't find anything, but he was in pain. Until he made time to fast and to seek the face of the Lord and said, Lord, I want your wisdom. And during his fast and praying the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit said to him, coffee. Coffee. The coffee you are taking is from bean. You know coffee beans? And told him, there are things in that, in the coffee you're taking, that are injuring your body. Now, if you continue that way, the pain will continue until you die. And his life would have been cut short. Yes, he will make heaven. Oh, God took him home. No, coffee took him home. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a Christian, if you choose that alcohol is not bad, like some Christians say, red wine is good for the heart. All right. You can get drunk one day, you are driving home, you get yourself involved in an accident, and you die. Oh, God, it has pleased God to take home our brother. No, alcohol took home our brother. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can choose to live a reckless sexual lifestyle and catch a terminal disease. There are born-again Christians living with HIV and all kinds of diseases. That's going to kill you. It wasn't God that took you home. You're staying too long on the mobile phone all night. You won't sleep. You are pressing phone. You are destroying the cells in your eyes. Let's get common sense. Sorry. Let's get Bible sense. That's wisdom. There's a time to rest your body. Why do you think some apostles and some ministers died young? And I'm also talking to myself. You don't rest. Rest enough. Rest well. And by the grace of God, I'll be taking some time out and my phone will be shut down. 24 hours. Nobody can get me. I just want to be alone with God and rest. Rest. And eat well. Not just anything and everything. If you're already working on your weight, be careful what you eat. Some of this information are in public domain. You can go on YouTube or Google and Google certain things that will help your health, help your heart, help your cholesterol level. It's not the only, it's not angels that will come down to do that for you. You will have to do that yourself. Shed some weight. Maybe walk around, do some exercise. All of those things. We have lost many people with anointing. Whose anointing should have still been a blessing to the body of Christ today? But wisdom was lacking. Wisdom. When you fast 40 days and 40 nights, and you minister like that, and you go fasting again, David Brainerd died at the age of 27. He literally wasted his body. A man highly anointed. So anointed, he was praying one day in India. A snake entered the tent where he was praying. All the people gathered to see the death of this strange man. He was a missionary. He was strange to them. He was always praying in the spirit. So they thought they wanted to witness his death. The snake swelled around and did like this, ready to bite him. He didn't know he was still praying. All of a sudden, the snake almost like flew outside of his tent. The snake saw something. The people were afraid. What did the snake see? Souls were being won everywhere for the Lord. Wisdom. For her, with her, is length of days. Don't tell me there's one day that a believer has an appointment to die. He can't escape that day. That day has been written. That's what we hear at funerals. That's why some young people hate God and they hate church. Because they think God killed their father. God killed their mother. I felt like that too. When I was much younger, what kind of God is this? Why would you kill my dad when I needed him? I was 20 when my father died. Still trying to figure out life. And then during the burial, they will say, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Bless. They are quoting Job. Even Job that said, God, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Was it God that took away his children? Come on, talk to me now. Who took away his children? Satan. And I hate him forever. To hell with him in the name of Jesus. Anyway, his end is hell. He knows I hate him very much. I hate Satan. Seriously. Satan. Let me wrap up this way. The Lord helped Dad Hagin all of a sudden, because he sat down waiting to die. Since the voice quoted the scripture, what is your life? It's only a vapor. It shall vanish away. And today, you are appointed to die. So he sat down waiting for death. Since 8 in the morning till almost 2 p.m. in the afternoon, death did not come. Ah, what is this? You know, Satan will suggest things to you. Until you give him approval, he won't be able to kill you. 19th of July, 2023, he came to my room, the spirit behind suicide, and was encouraging me. You have tried, Fred. You have really tried. Just say, I am tired. I want to go. The moment a believer gives up hope, that's why you must keep hope alive. No matter the pain in your body, keep hope alive. The moment a Christian turns off the switch of hope, that's it. In fact, that day strengthened my resolve. I said, Mr. Satan, I know that's you talking to me. I am not going to die. Today, I am not going to die. In fact, I'm not dying tomorrow. I'm not even dying again this year. In fact, I will live very long. Then the battle started. 1 hour. I started praying the Holy Ghost and quoting scriptures. That thick darkness was in my living room. My living room is painted white. One portion of it, dark. We were there, wrestling together. I said, you, I have the victory over you already. I knew this was not the Holy Spirit. When it lifted, there was a thunder in my compound. No rain, thunder. I was alone at home that day. That day, I knew I had my victory over death. Let's be careful. Don't let Satan kill you. The Lord said to Dad Hagin, you are going to be the next pastor of that church, and that will be the last church you will pastor. Did he say, because you will die? Say, get in God's mouth. Don't be getting half information from the Lord, running with half information, and allowing the devil to help you fill in the gap. If the other gap has not been filled, ask God, God, what are you saying? I will bless you, and I'm going to give you a life partner. That's fine. God can say that. It doesn't mean that the next person that shows up is God's answer. Are you getting what I'm saying? People have been deceived by Satan. Satan will organize somebody to show up. And then you say, ah, yes, I love you. Yes, you love me. Boom, you start a relationship. Because God told me 3 days before that he would bless me and give me a life partner. And boom, he showed up. Or she showed up 3 days after. No, that just might be a setup from the devil. When that person shows up, ask God, God, is this the one? Let him say, yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. Or no, wait for him. Wait for her. Satan likes to manipulate. Let me give you 3 scriptures on long life. Go to Psalm 34. that again saw these scriptures. Although he didn't quote this Psalm 34, but the Lord showed me this years ago, and it's still helpful. Verses 11, 12, and 13. Please pardon me. Just give me 5 minutes. Let me wrap. Let me do justice to this tonight, and then we go. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? What man is he that desires life and loves longevity many days that he may see good? What did he say you should do? Verse 13. It says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Number one thing to do, if you love long life, keep your tongue from evil. Satan will suggest evil to you. Anybody can die at any time. He will suggest such statements. Don't say it. Was I pressured during my tough times? Yes, I was. Satan will pressure you to speak against yourself. Oh, nobody tell you to not here, Jerry. When you begin to say careless things like that, such a person will soon die. It will pressure you. Keep speaking the word. Don't stop saying it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking the word. 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 You are going to come out. Can I have an amen? 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Verses 8 to 12. That again saw this in the New Testament. Running through his concordance on long life, long life, long life, from the old covenant to the new. This was what Peter said. I will show you this scripture, one more scripture, and then I will show you what Paul wrote. And then I will tell you my experience, my summation on this, my conclusion, and then we close for tonight. Verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days. Does it sound like that scripture we read in Psalm just now? So those people that tell you, there's nothing in the Old Testament. Everything is just new. Even the apostles that wrote epistles referred to the Old Covenant. There's something to learn there. The New Testament is the Old Testament explained and revealed and fulfilled. He that will love life and see good days, what should he do, Brother Peter? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And you have to be very aggressive when it comes to people speaking negative over your life. I'm not saying be rude. Be firm. No, sir. We are not going to have an accident. No, in the name of Jesus. Because this is your car. The way it is like this. This kind of car, they normally have accident. No, not mine. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not my car. Just barely 2 weeks ago, an elderly man saw me in Mokola. I drove my green car to Mokola to go and give my clothes to my laundryman. And he said, you still have this car? I said, yes, I do. I thought you sold it. You know, because these days people sell their cars to eat. I said, no, sir. Not me, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I was responding to him. I said, the Lord gave it to me to enjoy. He said, you are now driving 2 cars. I said, is that too much? He said, how are you managing? I said, the Lord is supplying all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, have a good day, Baba. I was even going to give him 1,000. I kept my 1,000 in my pocket and walked away. How can a man be so full of negativity? Sometimes when you see the situation of people, you see where they're coming from. So full of negativity. No, I'm not going to allow you to put that on me. No, I am not going to allow you to put that on me. No, and I'm not going to allow anybody to push their lack mentality on me. No, 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 no. We should begin to think like prosperous people. Your socks have holes as a guy. You are managing. Yeah, things are not very rosy. Believe God to throw away those socks and buy new ones. Because you are supposed to be wearing new ones. Can I have an amen? Amen. Something may happen someday. You are in church. You need to help them fix the bulb. And you need to remove your shoes. And then they see three fingers. Out. It's not nice. We have all been there, but may God deliver us from that point. In fact, we have been delivered from that point. May we live like people that Christ has redeemed. If I went the expression house, the amen would be better. Yeah. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So this is talking about if you want long life, what did he say you should do? Keep your tongue. Refrain your tongue from evil. Was that not what he said? 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain unto life. Life and godliness. Come on now. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's why you must have knowledge. Because to come through knowledge, you must know. What you don't know, you don't know. You don't know long life is available to you. It is available. There are some crazy symptoms I feel in my body sometimes. But I don't live by symptoms. If I tell you some of them, some of you will advise me especially. I don't live by symptoms. I don't mean I will live a reckless life, right? But I will deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it until it is dealt with. Finally, I showed them this scripture in Expression House years ago at Bible study. Ephesians 6. I don't normally pray for long life, but I know I will live long. And I know you will live long by following the word. I'm coming back to where I started from. Let us follow the word. I don't care who is cursing me. Oh, somebody somewhere hates me. They're saying nasty things about me. I don't care about you. If you know me, I don't care about you at all. And I'm not talking about specialness. I love you. But I'm saying somebody is saying negative things concerning my life or trying to speak a negative word over me in some corner somewhere. I don't care a hoot. I care what the word of God says. And so you don't have the final say over my life. Ephesians, look at what he said. And I taught this, and I'm teaching it now. Children, from verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You will find that in Exodus 20 and verse 12. Paul was quoting Exodus. Paul, that taught us New Testament realities, new creation realities, that wrote the epistles, was quoting Exodus. If Exodus was wrong, would he have been quoting it? In Exodus, he didn't tell us the promise. He just said, honor your father and mother, that you may live long, something like that. He didn't go further. But look at what he said by the Holy Ghost in verse 3 here. He said two things. That it may be well with you. One, and number two, that you may live long on the earth. So, it doesn't feature in my prayer. Lord, let it be well with me. Let it be well. Lord, please, let it be well with me. Lord, please, let it be well with me. Lord, please, let me live long. No, I know, one, it will be well with me. Oh, madara for me say. I said that to myself. You to say it over your life. Sometimes I stand in front of the mirror and I say, you see this man? It shall be well with you. I speak to that man that I'm looking at in the mirror. Oh boy, what is shuri re se? I look at dara fun eh. He said that it may be well with you. Number two, that you may live long. Lord, let me live long. Lord, please don't let me die now. Let me live long. When my father died, there was a sense of insecurity in the atmosphere. Who is next? That usually happens when a family loses their loved one. Everybody's afraid. Lord, what is this? Now, Fola, you're going to live long. And the number of your days, God will fulfill. Your mom will live longer. You will build her a house. You're going to buy her cars, brand new. And all your siblings, they will do well in the name of Jesus. So learn this. Learn this. I was younger than you when my father passed. Now, but the Lord showed me the scripture. These two promises are attached to honoring your father and your mother. Never was it recorded in my life that my dad or my mom was talking to me and I walked out on them. That I ever raised my voice on my mother, it never happened. Or my father, it never happened. One day my dad did something that pained me badly. And we took him to the hospital. He wasn't well. And at the hospital, I didn't know that he was acting out of pain. It was like he just disgraced me openly. I took a few steps away from him. I wanted to walk away. But I said to myself, if I walk away now, who will stay with him? So I went to a corner and I was crying. I was crying because I knew I could never talk back to my dad. Never. The worst that can happen when my parents were alive, the two of them are in heaven now to the glory of God, the worst that could happen was for me to take their whatever they did to me and cry. And cry it out. But normally my family was not toxic. We had a very good family. My parents were not rich, but we were very happy growing up. I never saw my father and mother arguing in our presence. They never did. Did they have arguments? Yes. But they protected our mental health from all of that drama. Really. I'm telling you. So, it never did happen. Did they please us every time? No. My dad was the typical Ondo man. Typical Ondo man. Strong. But loving at the same time. Are you getting what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who your parents are, whether they are nasty or they are nice. The Bible never puts their rebuke on your tongue. God has never given you the cane to flog your dad or your mom. Don't let modernization ever push you into a zone where you are now chastising your dad, rebuking your mom. And you know what she meant? When your mates were making it, where were you? I've had people in Mokola say that to their parents when we were growing up. In fact, a boy on our street fought his dad. Physical fight. Man, I was afraid that day. My father, it will never happen, sir. If my father wanted to beat me, I would prostrate. Daddy, oh yeah, beat me. And he never did, really. Except when I was a little bit stubborn, much younger. But as I was growing up, we became friends. See, when you begin to curse at your parents, you have moved yourself from the blessing zone where you are protected and where you have long life. You have moved yourself into the curse zone where Satan will kill you very young. Listen to me tonight. I taught this years ago in Bible study. One boy said, my dad is not responsible for my university education. Are you saying I should honor such a father? I said, did the Bible say, honor the father that pays for your university education? Honor your mom if only she's buying you Christmas clothes and she's taking care of you. If she doesn't do that, come and walk away from that kind of mother. She's irresponsible. If she had aborted you, when you were just 1 week or 2 weeks, but she gave birth to you. If they did nothing after that, it can be painful, but please honor them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? My dad doesn't have a job. Hey, well, go and pray that God should bless him so he can have a job. Still honor him. You are going to give him his food, go on your knees and honor him. In fact, start practicing it from tonight. I am giving you keys to long life and prosperity. You see that one that it will be well with you. You don't need any prophet to lay hand and say, it shall be well with you. Don't let them break your neck. Just go and honor your father and your mother. Or just honor, whatever honor means. You are crossing your leg, your daddy is washing his car. I can't stress myself. No, stress. Oh, stress. Go and stress. Stress now. Stress now so that the sweat can be taken away from your life. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Honor, whatever honor means. It's not only greeting. Honor them with your substance. But daddy likes Gala and Martina. Once in a while, when you have some little change, daddy uses one to flex. I can't buy you a car, yes, but I can buy Gala and Martina. Chilled, daddy, use it to flex. Isaac said, go and make me venison, the type that I like, so that I will eat it and my soul will bless you. You don't know that there is blessing in honor? Don't let me teach all night. If you don't understand me, I will continue teaching. But do you understand? Get up. Get up, everybody. God bless you.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.